الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه نجوم الهدى قد تقى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نجعل له عينين ولسانا وشفتين وهديناه النجدين صدق الله العظيم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن وجنبنا الفواحش والمعاصي والخطايا والذلل. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in a masjid and listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Just to recap, so far in Surah Al-Balad, we mentioned that in the very beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And as generally in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the ummah, is calling mankind towards the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah is where the trend and the tradition of wahi, the revelation, began. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon the city of Makkah. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon mankind as they are the ones who are being addressed. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to the difficulties that have been put in the life of mankind. And the lesson is that difficulties are supposed to humble us and they're supposed to make us attentive and draw attention to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and away from the destruction of the dunya, of the world. And thereafter, now, in today's dars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then draws our attention to some blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of these things, difficulties and blessings, they are designed to take us away from the destruction of the world and draw our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in today's lesson, we'll speak about some of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed mankind with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ. Did we not create for him two eyes? Under this verse, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah has written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing his attention to the fact that the one who created the eyes and the one who gave us the ability to see, do you not think he also has the ability to see? And so in terms of this tafsir, Allah then is drawing our attention to a previous verse again, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَيَحْسَبُ أَن لَّمْ يَرَهُ أَحَدٌ. Does he think that nobody is watching him? So Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah writes that, of course, the one who has the ability to give vision, the one who has the ability to give eyes, his vision will be the best of all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basir. He is all seeing. He sees everything that has happened in the past, everything that is happening now, and everything that is going on in all existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Other mufassirin, they go into the eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the eyes and He's drawing our attention to the eyes so that we should contemplate on this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like in other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to various different creation. Like for example, soon, inshallah, we will go through أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to look at the camel and to look at the sky. Inshallah, we'll speak about that later on. But speaking about the eyes. The eye, there are 10 muscles. There are 10 muscles inside the eye. 6 of these muscles, they are used to move the eye. When we move our eyeballs left, right, up, down, 6 of these 10 muscles, they are used to move the eye itself. One eye, one muscle is used to control the eyelids, whilst another muscle is used to control the eyebrows. When we move our eyebrows up and down. And finally, 2 muscles are used to control the pupil, which is in the center of the eye. Moving on, we look towards the process of seeing. When we see things, what is going on? For us, we don't think about these things. Yeah, we see things, it's a millisecond, but what is going on in this millisecond or in this several milliseconds? Firstly, what happens is light. Without light, we cannot see. So the light, it hits the clear window in front of the eye. This is called the cornea. The cornea, the job of the cornea is that it takes all of this light and it concentrates it into a small area and it allows it to pass through. After this, the light passes through the colored part of the eye. This is known as the pupil, which is situated at the front and the center of the iris. The iris is the colored part of the eyeball, you know, the part that's not white, whether it's black or brown. After this, the light travels further and it meets the lens of the eye, which again further concentrates and focuses the light. After that, the light hits the back of the eye. The back of the eye is known as the retina, and the retina consists of 10 layers. The retina consists of 10 layers. It is in the retina that the light is detected and then it's transformed into an electrical signal. Once it's transformed into an electrical signal, the signal passes through multiple nerves through the 10 layers of the retina until it reaches the optic nerve. The signal then passes through the optic nerve through the head until it reaches the lateral genicular nucleus, known as the LGN, located in the midbrain. Then the signal is passed to the back of the brain, to the occipital lobe, where the visual cortex is. The brain consists of 4 lobes. So this lobe is the smallest of all 4 of them, and its primary role is to take control and be responsible for the vision. Thereafter, the signal is processed in different zones where motion, color, and depth are all processed. And finally, after this, an image is formed which our brain shows us. So this entire process from a person, the light reaching the eye, to us seeing something, it normally takes maybe a millisecond, maybe a couple of milliseconds. There is a whole list of things that are taking place. Who is the one that arranged and facilitated for this? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? It says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَاتُهُ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. If we contemplate in anything and everything, there are signs that indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. We're not even finished yet. We move on to the sharpness of the eye, the function of the eye. The human eye is incredibly sharp. It is estimated that the resolution of the human eye is over 576 megapixels. To put that into perspective, the highest-end professional cameras today tend to be around 100 megapixels. So they're more than five times faster than the most expensive cameras. This high resolution allows us to see incredible detail and a vast range of colors. The human eye can distinguish around 10 million different colors. This is because of 3 types of cone cells, which are responsible for detecting red, green, and blue lights. The combination of signals from these cones allows our brain to perceive such a wide spectrum of colors. The eye can process visual information in as little as 13 milliseconds. That's 13% of a second. This rapid processing speed is crucial for our survival, allowing us to react quickly to our environment. In fact, our eyes can send signals to the brain faster faster than a computer can load a web page. That also depends on your internet speed. The cornea, the transparent front part of the eye, is the only tissue in the body that doesn't have blood vessels. It gets its oxygen directly from the air. A minor scratch on the cornea can heal in as little as 1 or 2 days. So, the eye, we tend to hear this phrase, you know, cameras can't do justice. You know, sometimes you go on holiday or you go somewhere and you see something very beautiful and you tend to take a picture of it and you see the picture and you're like, nice. What I saw was different. This picture, it's really watered down what I actually saw. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the eye and humans created the camera. So no matter how good your camera is, it just cannot replace actually seeing through the eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Moving on, just a little bit more on this. From an external perspective, so all of this, you know, I'm no expert on eyes, but my classmate, Mullah Talha, he is an optometrist, so I spoke to him, you know, to write a few things up to share. So alhamdulillah, through his effort, I managed to put these things in front of you today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and fulfill all his ja'iz, hajat and his needs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with a place in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, from the books of tafsir, we find description, just from an external perspective, the eyeball itself is soft and so sensitive. To protect the softness of the eyeball, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded it with water. So it keeps it soft, it keeps it hydrated. On top of this, is any piece of dust or anything falls into the eye, what happens is the water catches it. It doesn't touch the eyeball. It catches it and it sort of pushes it to the side and it gets rid of it like this. On top of that, we have the eyelids. Whenever something suddenly comes to us, what happens immediately? We close our eyes. If someone flashes a sudden bright light, and what do we do straight away? Our eyes close. This is an automatic reaction, a defensive mechanism that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed with. No one taught us that when something approaches you, you close your eyes. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed intrinsically within us to protect us. On top of this, we have the eyelashes, which also serve as a defense mechanism for anything that can put us into danger. They can also protect the eye. Also, the eyebrows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on top of our eyes. So when dust and, you know, sweat or anything like that comes down from the top, the eyebrows catches it and then it pushes it to the side. And then, well, if it's dust, then the dust gets stuck inside. Well, I remember once we were helping our madrasa and it was a very dusty environment. So we were working all day, and then I saw one of my friends who was working and I said, look, you look like Father Christmas, yeah? Because he had all dust on his eyes. He said, you look the same as well. You look in the mirror, all the dust had been caught by our eyebrows. So if our eyebrows weren't there, that dust would have gone straight into our eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed our eyebrows in such a way that they can protect us from the top as well. So, and then finally, the bone structure, the actual bone structure around our eye, it protects us. So if something, if we fall down or if something strikes us head on, the bone structure normally gets hit first and the eyeball is saved, because the bone structure tends to protrude a little bit. So it takes the hit. You know, recently one of my relatives, she fell down and I went to see her. So her full bone was bruised all the way around. So what had happened was the impact was full on at the front of the eye. But because of the bone structure, the entire bone structure was bruised. But because of the bone structure, the eye got saved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our bone structure around the eye such that it protects the eye as well. Now this is just one human eye. Yeah? If we try to talk about the rest of the body, we'd never be able to. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to fathom them. You'd not be able to contemplate them. Yeah? So this is just, we've already spent maybe 10-15 minutes talking about one eye. Yeah, if we talked about the rest of the body, it would take us a very long time. And, you know, there's so much more about the eye, amazing things. One British science writer, Steve Parker, he writes that the eyesight provides the brain with more input than all the other senses combined. Each optic nerve contains 1 million nerve fibers, and it is estimated that more than half the information in the conscious mind comes through the eye. So you think that all of this happened just by chance? Yeah, by some atheist, what did they say? That all the whole dunya, the whole universe, everything just appeared by itself. How can this is nonsensical? This is we can't even believe that, you know, a simple phone or a simple piece of wood came into existence by itself. How can we go on to believe that the entire universe came into existence by itself? Look at the detail. Look at the detail that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our bodies. We contemplate on this, we will come to one conclusion and one conclusion only, that all of this had to be created by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a true understanding. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنَ. And did we not create for you the two eyes and the tongue and the two lips? The tongue itself is an amazing piece of the body. It's a boneless piece of flesh. It interprets the communications of the heart into sounds and understandable words. What happens is we feel something in our heart. And then after that, you know, I'm not going to go into all of that. But it sends the message to the brain, and the brain tells the tongue that this is what you need to do, and finally the words come out. Again, it happened in a very, very quick and very short amount of time for the thoughts to come from the heart to the brain, and finally the formulation of the words. All of it just takes maybe less than a second as well. So similar thing to the eye, where so many things are happening to help us bring our thoughts into formulated words. Thereafter, the tongue, along with helping us to speak, it has the ability to taste as well. This is just, and helps with the process of swallowing as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the lips. They assist greatly in the formulation of words. Along with this, they beautify the face. So they're very closely connected to the tongue as well. The tongue, moving on just from the physical aspects of the tongue is a very, very powerful piece of, a very powerful tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Look, the tongue in just a few seconds can take a person from Jahannam to Jannah. Such an amazing thing. Yeah? Once I was at Dewsbury Markaz, and one person, he was making muzakara, and he mentioned that a person on his deathbed, he was a non-Muslim all his life, and on his deathbed he became Muslim. On his deathbed he became Muslim, and his daughter who had become Muslim, she made dua to Allah for a sign. She made dua to Allah for a sign that she had a little bit of doubt that how can a person all his life be non-Muslim and then right at the end, when he's about to die, become Muslim. So she said, "Ya Allah, give me a sign. I want to see a sign that the Islam of my father has been accepted." So what happened was, he was buried next to Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So they say, if you go to Hafiz Patel Sahib, next to him, there's a person, he's got English name. He's buried next to Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So this person, his entire life, he was destined for Jahannam because he didn't have Iman. But right at the very end, he uttered a few words, taken him to Jannah. Such a powerful piece of flesh that a person can go from Jahannam to Jannah. Also, sometimes what can happen is there is a grudge in families. And sometimes the grudge has lasted for 10 years, 20 years. Sometimes it goes through generations. But just a few kind words from one person to another can end centuries of grudge. Just a few kind words. Along with this, a person, he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he goes into the nikah of a woman. Previously, this woman was haram for him. But through some words uttered by the tongue, this person has now become halal for him. However, at the same time, as beneficial the tongue is, it can be as dangerous as well. Just like the tongue can take a person from Jahannam to Jannah in just 1 second, the tongue can also take a person from Jannah to Jahannam in 1 second as well. A person can be Muslim all his life. Finally, in the final moments, yeah, he says that, you know, shaitan, our entire lives, he attacks us. We know that, yeah? He's attacking us non-stop all our lives. He's whispering evil things to us, trying to make us do evil things and trying to make us disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says that, you know, the final moments when a person is passing away, you know, the effort that shaitan puts in them final moments, if he was to gather his efforts of your entire life and his attacks of his entire life and put them together, this final attack that shaitan puts on us in the moments are more powerful than all of the other attacks put together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in these final moments. But a person, he can be a Muslim all his life. In the final moment, he can utter one word of kufr, it will take him into Jahannam. A person can be married for 50 years, yeah? And one wrong word that he utters, it'll break the marriage up, break the entire family up. So just like, you know, just like the tongue has a lot of benefits and can do many great things, it also has is also very dangerous and can do a great deal of damage as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the dangers and the damage of our tongue. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The ulama write that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a cover on this tongue, and those are the lips. So, well, as one of our ustaz used to say that, socho, tolo, fir bolo. That think, then pause, what am I about to say? And then talk. Some people, they talk and then they think afterwards, oh, what did I say wrong? Before we should always, you know, as they say in English, think before you speak. We should also always do this. And finally, there's one narration. It's a long narration, so I will just, two narrations I want to mention before we wrap up for the day, inshallah. One narration is narrated by Hafiz ibn Asakir, rahimahullah. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O son of Adam, I have given you great, many blessings. And you cannot count them, nor can are you able to fulfill their thankfulness and be grateful for them. From the blessings that I have given you, I have given you two eyes, that you are able to see through, and have given you a cover for these eyes as well. So look with these eyes towards those things that I have made halal for you. And when your eyes, and when you see something that is haram for you, close this cover upon them. Yani the eyelids. If you see something haram, close your eyes, turn your head away. Don't look towards haram. May Allah give us tawfiq. And I have given you a tongue, and I have given you a cover for this tongue as well. You mentioned that it was like the lips. So, say those things that I have commanded you to say, and say those things that I have made halal for you. And if you feel like saying something that is haram for you, then close this cover. Then close this cover over your tongue. And then the hadith carries on and it says, that I have given you private parts, and I have given you a cover for it. So use your private parts in the place that I have made halal for you. And if you feel like using it in a place that I have made haram for you, cover it up. Cover it up. O Ibn Adam, you cannot bear my anger, and you cannot bear my revenge, my intiqam. Yeah, so it's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a tongue, He's given us lips. Say the right things, stay away from haram. Finally, and Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, that Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man yadman li ma bayna lahayhi wa ma bayna rijlayhi adman lahu al-jannah. Whoever can guarantee me that things, those, the safety of that which is between his jawbones and that which is between his legs, I will guarantee for him Jannah. What this means is that if you safeguard your tongue from haram, and you safeguard your private parts from falling into haram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guarantees us Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to obey him and fulfill our obligations. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and the power to stay away from haram and stay away from the whispers of shayateen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the true understanding of the Holy Quran and the true love for the Holy Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to carry out the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us His true love. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam bisawab. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.